All right, brethren, Psalm 119, and there is probably no doubt a whole lot more than just three ways you could go with this particular section of verses, but I hope I don't get too confusing to you, because I think I did end up putting about all three of them together, and so I hope it won't be too confusing. I hope we'll be able to get it straightened out for you, and the Spirit of God work it in your heart and your life, and be a blessing and a help to you. Psalm 119, we will begin reading in verse number 49 while you're finding your places, of course. Psalm 119, we entitled this whole psalm, Learning a Little at a Time. And we've been subtitling each section of eight verses. It is divided equally, eight verses and 22 times. And those are the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. And I did find, and I'm a little bit skeptical of saying this, but I did find in one of my resources on my computer program yesterday, I believe it was eSword, of a man, I forget his name, it sounded kind of odd, but he gives a meaning of each one of these alphabet letters. And he said this one, Zayin, means weapon. And I don't know all that. It did say in the last part of that, it did say that it could be some difference of opinions on that. But you can study that out if you'd like to. Maybe before I'm all done, I might do that, maybe as in a conclusion of the thoughts. But I looked at them yesterday, and pretty interesting, you know, in some of the things that were said there. But I trust the Lord to help us today. That is basically what we've been dealing with here. The Psalm 119 deals with the Word of God in many different facets, and calling it statutes, precepts, judgments, Word, many different things. And as you already know, and we have been looking at some of those in light of the text, the truth is that it all deals with the Word of God. And I want to remind you quickly that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have before us today God's holy Word, and we ought to reverence it as such. When we read it, and we realize through the working of the Spirit of God the truth of it, we need to learn to obey it, don't we? Amen. And I say that to me as much or more than to you. Amen. And we need to learn to take heed to what God says in His Word. But I've subtitled, these eight verses today that we'll be dealing with, verse number 49 through 56, under the title of Zayin, Do You Remember? Do You Remember? And you'll kind of get that title here in just a little bit. All right, verse number 49 in the Word of God, Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. What a verse. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Verse 56 was very inspiring to me, and probably where most of these three different ways could come out. But he said, this I had because I kept thy precepts. What did this psalmist have? Of course, there's many different ways to go. And I'm basically going to go all three ways this morning with the Lord's help in the lesson. But I'm asking you this morning, do you remember? Do you have a remembrance of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. We thank you for the help and truth, love and mercy that you've given unto us. Lord, I thank you for the place of safety that we have came to today, Lord, to praise and worship thy name. I do pray, Lord, that our hearts and intents, Lord, have come to be here, Lord, to worship and honor you. I ask you, dear Lord, that you would touch in the service today. Lord, I pray that every aspect of it would bring honor and glory to your name. And I trust, Lord, that we'd have an open mind to the Word of God to be receptive to that you give us with singleness of heart and joy and gladness. And, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. Give us help today, Lord. We need it much, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would use us for your honor and your glory, because without you, we can do nothing. Lord, and have your will and way today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, as I said, I've subtitled this particular section of 8 verses, Do You Remember? And the psalmist said, This I had because I kept thy precepts. I need to quickly say about that word kept there, that it's not necessarily something that you do in your own self. All right? If you'll look up the word kept, you'll find it means to protect, to guard, to maintain, to obey. So it's not all in necessarily in what we do in ourselves, but it's what the Lord has given us the ability to do. I began to think about scriptures, such as in Hebrews. It talked about how we not to let things slip, how we're not to lose things. Thought about Revelation in one of the churches there, where it talks about holding fast to that name. And I thought about Hebrews there again, hold fast to that profession of faith that we have. Many things in the Bible that reflects upon the thought of us keeping and keeping ourselves in the love of God and where we ought to be with the Lord. And there's many aspects to look at that, but I began to think about this in line of the psalmist in this text and how he said, because I have kept thy precepts. In other words, he had obeyed. He had maintained, and he didn't allow circumstances and the things that was going on in his life in this particular account to hinder him from being able to see the reality of what God's law, what God's word had done for him. And I think that's where we need to be today. We need to remember what God's Word has done for us, what He does for us through His Word, how He gives us the help and the strength in His Word. And that's why I've titled this particular section, Do You Remember? And there's three things, there's three places in this text today that you find the word remember and remembered. Three different times the psalmist talks about that. And the first time, of course, is found in our first verse when he asked the Lord to remember the word that he had given unto him. In other words, and not that God has ever forgotten, brethren. We know that. God never forgets. Amen. Unless he chooses to forget. I'm glad he forgets our sin. Amen. When it's confessed and forsaken. Amen. I'm glad that he don't know where they're at, because he chose not to know where it's at. Amen. I'm thankful for that today in the blessings of God. But the fact is, God doesn't forget anything that he chooses to remember. Amen. And he has not forgotten any promise that he has made unto you or myself. Amen. He's never forgotten that. Anything that he's given you from the Word of God is still true, and he's still faithful to it according to his Word. Now, kind of got a little bit ahead of myself, but let me just go on and quickly jump into it here. I thought about Peter over there in the New Testament. I thought about Peter when he said, I stir up your pure minds by way of what? Remembrance. And our memory is a good thing, a great thing, when it's in the right way. Amen. Now, too many of us, we can remember things of the past that we wish we could forget. Amen. But we need to focus on and think on, as the Bible said in Philippians 4, those good things. Amen. And dwell upon those good things from the Word of God and what God has done for us in our life. And if we'll do that, I believe we can be a better servant unto the Lord. Notice now here what he said in Psalm 119 in verse number 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I want to say, number one, we need to remember God's word. Plain and simple this morning, brethren, we need to remember God's word. You know, there's many different avenues we could run with here, and I want to try to stay on track with my notes this morning and be obedient to the Lord. But, you know, we could say many things about remembering God's Word, the way of life, manner of life that we should live, and many different things and how we ought to walk. But I'm dealing with some promises this morning. This Word to this psalmist that we believe is David was a promise. God had given David a promise in his younger days, and according to the multiplicity of writers that we looked after, they all believe that this is pointing to the time that David is going to become king of Israel. But nonetheless, whether it be that particular occasion or another occasion in his life, I believe that's why it's not particularly named, because we have not been promised to be made a king necessarily for God's people. Amen. God doesn't rule that away anymore. But God has given each and every one of us promises according to His Word. And according to His Word, we can believe in those promises. And we need to remember that Word and go by that. You've heard the preacher say many times, as well as I have. You've heard others testify many times about how God gave them a promise from the Word of God. And when God gives you a promise from the Word of God, it will come to pass. Amen. You can mark it down. It will come to pass. Notice here what he said. Remember the word unto thy servant. Number one, we need to remember that it's God's word. We need to remember who that word is to. Now, if you're not serving the Lord, then you can forget about that promise being fulfilled. There were certain conditions to certain promises. Now, there was promises as a whole, as a nation in general, that was going to be fulfilled. In other words, God's purpose, His will, that nobody could change one way or another. But there's also promises that were conditional. God said, if you do this, I'll do that. Or God said, I'll do this and you do that. Amen. And if those conditions were met, God kept His promise. And God will keep His promise to us today, brethren. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He will not lie. And by the way, He cannot lie. Amen. It's impossible for God to lie. His word is true. Now, not only do we see the comfort in a promise. Notice here what He said. Remember the word, God's word, unto thy servant. That's me. That's you. If you're saved, living for the Lord. And then He said, upon which thou has caused me to hope. I notice here three things, and I'll get on into it. There is comfort in a promise. If we'll remember God's word He's given to us, we can take comfort in that promise, that word that God has given. Why? Because God's not going to go back on His word. He said His word is the only thing that He exalted above His name. And a man's word, his name, is only as good as his word. Amen. And His word, amen, is good for His name. Amen. And I don't want to get off into all that today, but you're only as good as what you say. Amen. If somebody goes to Sturgis, for example, today, and says something to different people around about Joel Gray or about Roy Gray, you know, about my family, they're going to tell you what they think. They're going to tell you what they know. They're going to tell you what they believe about us and the character that we lived in that community. And what you are is what your name is. You're as good as your word, amen, your reputation, your character. And we see the psalmist here has built the character of God, and it is true, amen. His character cannot be ruined, scarred, marred, or anything. Amen. He does live and do the truth. He said, remember God's word. This is a comfort in a promise. Now, notice the three things that's comforted in that promise. Number one, He gave him hope. He said, thou hast caused me to hope. Now, I want to say something to you. Now, it appears to me, whether this psalmist was in this state, you know, at that time in his life, or whether it's an illustration to us, it is a prayer unto the Lord, and I believe a proclamation unto the people that listen. But as we study this these particular verses, he said, "This remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Evidently, the time has caused this psalmist to begin to come in doubt. He has began to become weary in the battle. He has began to wonder, did I understand the Lord right? He has began to wonder, is this going to come to pass? And many times in our life, in our service unto the Lord, even though we have that promise from the Word of God, sometimes we, because of our flesh and because of our nature, sometimes we begin to doubt God. Amen. That's why the Bible said, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. So we see here that the psalmist said, this word of promise give him comfort, and that comfort was hope. Amen. We can have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have faith that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say, secondly, not only did it give him hope, but it gave him comfort in affliction. You say, well, that's the same thing you're saying. No, notice here what he said. Not only did he have comfort in this promise that it was going to come to pass, but he had comfort during the affliction while he was waiting on this promise to come to pass. You know, many times in our life, afflictions come. And the afflictions here, primarily, according to what I studied in the definitions of it, primarily would mean internal. In other words, dealings with your mind. Not necessarily outward persecution as far as from an individual. We'll get to that in a minute. But this affliction was more so personal affliction. Maybe sickness and thoughts of the mind, different things of that nature that comes. You know how the devil comes and throws doubts, cast doubts in your mind. Those vain imagination, the Bible tells us that we are to cast away and leave alone. Amen. And that we are to leave those things behind us. But he said here, he said, this is my comfort. Notice here, my comfort. It's personal. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Amen. Now, what my comfort is in my affliction, personal, might not be your comfort in your affliction, personal. Amen. There's that reason why the Word of God is so important for each and every one of us to read, to memorize, to study, to know the truths of the Word of God, because God will take and remind you of His Word, His promise, if you'll study it, live by it, look to it, amen, read it, get it in your heart, amen, and let it be that guide and that direction in your life. It will show you the comfort in a time of affliction in your life. That's what he said. The psalmist said, this is my comfort. He's talking about that word of promise. He's talking about the word of God. He's talking about some specifics that God had given him. He said, this is my comfort in my affliction. Now, your comfort in your affliction might not be the same as mine. But each and every one of us have the same opportunity to go to God's word and find the comfort that we need in our time of affliction. Amen. And if you're staying in affliction, and if you're staying down and discouraged, I'm not fussing at you, but the reason is it's your fault for not getting into the Word of God and believing God for the promise that He gave you. That's where He said, thou hast caused me to hope. Amen. I've been through some of these things now. And I know it ain't the easiest thing in the world. I've told you and testified to you. I've laid in my bed at night many months ago and just cried and wept. And my wife said, what can I do to help you? What can I do to encourage you? I said, nothing. I can quote her scripture after scripture. But the fact is, I had to let God do a work in my heart. He had to be the one to give me the word to comfort me in my affliction. I knew the truths. I knew what needed to be done. But He had to bring it to a promise. He had to bring it to a place that it was my comfort in my affliction. Amen. You could talk to people and get an encouraging word and get help. And all that's great and fine in its place. But the truth is, there's some afflictions in people's lives that can only be comforted by the Word of God. That is God Himself. Now notice, thirdly, he said, he quickens me. He said, for thy word hath quickened me. Made me alive, revived me, refreshed me, invigorated me. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the word of God, the truth of it, that promise that God gives is what causes us to, if I can say this without you taking it the wrong way, to stand up, take courage, and go for God. Against all the odds, I mean, what do you think made David go against Goliath? He was against all odds. I mean, there was no way David could have whipped that giant of his own self. There was no way David could have whipped that lion and that bear of his own self. But I'll tell you what happened. God quickened him. And God gave him a reviving, a refreshing, a lively invigoration to cause him to go and fight that battle. And God can do the same for us, brethren. I'm not saying God's going to do it the exact way that He did back then, but God has got ways and prepared ways for each and every one of us today, no matter what battle we may be facing, no matter what giant may be before us, that we can win that battle. He will quicken us to win that battle. But we have to depend on Him, His Word. Now notice, secondly, not only do we need to remember God's Word, but we need to remember God's judgments. I thought about this in the psalmist, that in remembering his judgments, that means there's comfort in persecution. There's comfort in persecution by remembering his judgments. You say, how do you get that? I got to hurry. It's 11 o'clock. But let me just give you the verse of Scripture and I'll run on. But there is comfort in persecution when we remember God's judgments. Look what he said in verse number 51 through 53. I'll make a couple comments here and go on. The proud have had me greatly in derision. They've mocked me. They've scorned me. They've laughed at me. They've made a mockery of me. But look what he said. He said, yet have I not declined from thy law. Why did he not decline from the law of God? I want to say because he knew that was true judgment. That his word is true judgment, brethren. We can depend solely on the word of God. It is true. Thy word is truth. I want to say secondly, you can go to Revelation 16 and 7, where it talks about true and righteous are the judgments of God, as well as 19 in verse number 2. Secondly, that brings me to that point. His judgments are righteous. Notice here what the psalmist said. He said, I remembered thy judgments of old. The psalmist here said, I can think back and I can remember how you've made judgments. And they've been true. In other words, it did come to pass. They've been right. They've been righteous. In other words, they were the right judgment. It wasn't clouded. We don't always make the right judgments because we don't have perfect wisdom. That's why Solomon was such a great man. There in the fact he asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom and he could make right judgments. We need to ask for wisdom, brethren, to make right judgments. But you can rest assured that every judgment God makes is righteous. You say, well, I don't believe I should have to go through that. Tell Job that. But you know what? Job didn't say God was unrighteous. On the contrary, Job said God is right. He will do right. The God of all the earth will do right. He said, shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord and evil as well? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what comes our way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's hard to live in when you're going through it. But it's still Bible. Righteous are his judgments. I don't understand why I'm going through this. Doesn't matter if you understand it or not. Be like Job. I know that when I come forth, I'll come forth as gold. Amen. Because it is the Lord that has the true and the righteous judgments. I want to say thirdly that they're final. Now, I'm not going to go to Revelation 20 or Psalm 73. But the psalmist said in Psalm 73, you know, I used to be envious of the wicked. I used to, you know, wonder why I didn't have it as good as they had it. But the fact is, when I went to the house of God, when I went to the sanctuary, I saw their end. Brethren, I want to say that's a horrible end. Notice here what he said in verse number 53. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Now, I'm not dogmatic about this. But look at what he says. Look at the wording here that he uses. Horror hath taken hold upon me. In other words, a great fear. He said, I forget now exactly all of what Strong said, but it talked about a fire of wind in this word horror. But he says, because of the wicked that forsake thy law. He's not talking about people that didn't know any better. He's talking about people that did know the law. And they forsook it. He's talking about people that wouldn't listen, people that wouldn't hear the Word of God, wouldn't live according to the Word of God. And I don't believe it was so much as a fear for his own life, like we would think when we first began to read that, as it was a fear of what was going to happen to them. He feared the judgment of God upon the wicked, because he knew that that judgment would be final, and there would be no hope for them. Of course, we read about that in Revelation. I'm not going to go there. Then I want to say thirdly, we need to remember God's name. Remember God's name. In verse 54 through 56, he says, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I want to quickly turn to Isaiah chapter number 12. Isaiah chapter number 12, and there's a lot here that I could say and read, and I'm not going to take time to do it all. But I want to say that remembering God's name is a comfort in our pilgrimage. our journey of life, brethren, if we'll remember God's name. You say, well, what's so important about that? Well, I'm going to give you a few things here. I want to say His name gives songs in the night. His name gives songs in the night. Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 1, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. What did the psalmist say? He's talking about comfort now. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, and that's what that O Lord is there in Psalms. It's all capitalized, and that is the Hebrew word for Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Now, I could take time to read all that chapter, but I'm not. He is my song, brethren. When I hear of the name of the Lord, songs begin to pop in my mind. Verses of Scripture begin to pop in my mind. Why? Because He is my song, and He giveth a song. Amen? And I thank God that He does. We could go to Psalm 32:7 and 42:8. I'll not take time to do that. But I want to say not only, and this one might have should have been first, but it's just the way the Lord gave it to me. There's comfort in my pilgrimage knowing the songs. There's comfort in my pilgrimage by knowing the sovereign. Again, I reemphasize in verse number 54 there, he said, O Lord, or verse number 55, he said, O Lord, I remember thy name, O Lord. That Lord is capitalized, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. In the Hebrew, meaning the name Jehovah. God is self-existent, self-eternal. He doesn't depend on you or I, brethren. He doesn't depend on anybody else for His existence. He doesn't depend on anybody else for what He wants to do. He doesn't depend on anybody else for how He wants to handle things. We do, but He don't. That's why He's sovereign. He will do that that needs to be done. And we could go to Philippians chapter number 2 and talk about how He's been given a name that is exalted above every name. That at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God. Amen. The glory of the Father. Job 35:10. I'm not going to take time to run to these. You can write them down. But I want to say thirdly, I remember when I think about His name, I remember salvation. You know, preacher preached on that here just a while back about His name being Emmanuel, God being with us. But then in the New Testament, Matthew 1 said He shall be called Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins. And I began to think about that. And Acts 4:12 says, neither. They're preaching the Lord Jesus Christ there in Acts chapter number 4, if you go over and read it. But in verse number 12, He said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You ask me why I'm saved today? I'll tell you why. Because of Jesus. Because I've remembered His name. He's brought salvation to me. Not only salvation for my soul, but salvation, deliverance, if you please, from trials and tribulations in my life. Amen. He's delivered me from fleshly sins in my life. And He is my salvation. I want to say, lastly, He satisfies. He satisfies. You know, many of us might walk out of here today not totally satisfied about the economy, where we live, what we drive, what our income is, many other things you could say, how things are going in our life or whatever. But there's one thing that we can all be satisfied about for sure. And I believe if we'll get satisfied in Him, then those other things will become satisfying as well. Notice with me, if you would please, in our text, and then I'll turn back and read one verse of Scripture and close. But in our text, He said, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. Now, there's two different definitions, if you please, for that in the night. It could mean in a dark time of his life, but it could literally mean when he went home to go to bed, to go to sleep. Now, has any of you ever woken up in the middle of the night just thinking about him? I'm not talking about being burdened about something. I'm not talking about, you know, somebody waking you up or you're troubled about it before you even go to bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you go home, you lay down, you go to sleep. Boy, you seem like you're resting good. And all of a sudden you wake up and there's God's thought on your heart and mind. I woke up Friday morning with a song on my heart. And I'm trying to think of who it is or what the title of the song is right now. But it basically is, you know, it's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. That's not the song, but that's kind of the subject of the song as well. I'm just going to keep going this away. I'm not going to give up in the battle. I'm going to keep on doing the fight of faith. Amen. He satisfies. In Psalm 77:6, I read this and close. In Psalm 77:6, he said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. There can be troubles in our life, brethren, that cause us to have trouble in the night. And God will give a song. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit may diligent search. He satisfies, brethren. If you'll remember Him, remember His Word, remember His judgments, how He has righteously judged the wicked, how He has righteously judged the righteous. Not that we won't be chastened, not that there's not consequences for sin in our life at times, but the fact is He will do right. And He rewarded those that did right as for their good, as well as rewarding those that did evil for their evil, and then remembering His name. My, what a joy that is to think of the name of Christ and what He's done for us. Thank you, preacher.